Good afternoon, everybody. Blake Ruby here from San Antonio. How are you all doing out there in Internet Radio Land? That's good. I hope you are doing well. Wherever you are around the world listening, thanks for tuning into my show, God is on the Sun. Time is going to fly during this next hour. I've got something that I want to talk to you about. I'm going to read from my book that I read to you from last week, this book. Now you can buy it in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. It's called Thayuba, The Golden Planet. And also it's known as Abduction to the Ninth Planet or the Thayuba Prophecy. And it's a story about a man who was abducted by a race of extraterrestrials. And it is such an incredible read. It is, in my opinion, the most amazing book in the world, even better than the Bible. I love the Bible still, and that's what I'm going to talk about this evening. But I don't believe everything that's in the Bible. So before I say anything else, let me just say it's nice to know that I'm living here in America, and I'm entitled to my opinion, isn't it? With all the different religions around, whether it's Christianity or Islam, mainly, for Muslims, right? Hindus, Buddhists, I would consider myself mainly a Christian. But there's some things I don't agree with. Now, I, my friends, have a ponderous mission in front of me to try to convince, because make no mistake about it, these words are going into an archive that will be later accessible to anybody to read and maybe change their mind, depending on whether or not I present my logic in a reasonable way, in a good, positive way, not in a way that will offend anybody, hopefully, but sometimes you can't avoid that. Keep in mind, there's a lot of young souls out there, intermediate souls, advanced souls, people who pride themselves on their intelligence. And what I'm saying is that for the people that don't observe logic, that ignore rationale, then their intellectuality, their intelligence is different than other people's. It's not as much, if you will. Especially with young souls, it's hard to change their minds about things. They're very closed-minded. Don't think outside the box. Take, for example, when Jesus showed up back in those days, over 2,000 years ago. He had to contend with the mindset that Moses' law was what was real and was being observed by everybody. He had to change that. That was an incredible mission in and of itself. Now, what I want to talk about is that, like I said, I believe in the Bible. There's a lot of wisdom, a great historical account of divine intervention like no other book in the world has ever talked about before. But there's some parts in it I don't believe. And so I'm going to try to present a good case of logic and rationale to counter some of the things that I find contradictory or just not the truth at all. Kind of like fantasy, if you will, even in the Bible. First of all, though, let me say something. When you believe somebody, sometimes you can't really have any evidence. You might have something that seems like evidence, and you have to make your mind up. Take the O.J. Simpson trial, for example. About 50-50, all the people I've talked with afterwards believe that he did it. 50% believe he did, 50% believe he didn't do it. We all saw the trial. How long did that last? A few months on national television. And so the result of that trial was that he was set free. He was declared innocent. What went on afterwards is irrelevant. Now, personally, I met O.J. Simpson. I was working at a hotel at the Bellman, and you'll never meet a nicer guy in the world. Back then, for some reason, people didn't trust him. Maybe because he was rich. Maybe because he was an ex-football player. He was a film star. But if you had a chance to sit down and talk to the man for about 30 minutes, you might change your mind. You know, you could ask him all the questions that you wanted to your heart's content. And then at the end, you could make your conclusion and maybe it'd be different. My point is, don't judge people hastily without doing the proper research. The same with the Bible. If you just take for granted what it says, all of it, then you're not thinking outside the box like an intelligent person would. You have to question everything in this world nowadays, especially when we're trying to make contact with the extraterrestrials out there. It's these traditional beliefs that are hanging on to us that are preventing us from doing that. There is so much potential for the human race waiting out there for us, but it's the closed mindset of a lot of people that are ruining it for people like me. So, with O.J. Simpson, too, about him, what I concluded was this. His wife was involved with drugs. She was buying drugs from the cartel. The cartel came to collect. She was murdered by cartel members. And they told him that if he ever told the truth about who did it, he probably knew them by name, then they would go and get his children. They would kill his family. So he wasn't allowed to speak freely about who had actually killed his wife. Do you understand what I mean? Now, isn't that logical? Let's go back to Jesus. Now, Jesus died on the cross. There was a Jesus. I told you in a previous show, as I've said on other shows before, that if you read this book, Abductions of the Ninth Planet, or Thyuba, the Golden Planet, the author's name is Michael Desmarquette. There's so much great information in there that will set you free. The truth will set you free, my friends. You should read this book. But Jesus, as far as Jesus was concerned, he came. He was going to change the law. He was going to change the truth. He was going to just turn everything around. You know, they all believed in Moses' law. So what did he say? He told them that he was going to die and be resurrected. He predicted his resurrection. It's right there in the Bible. Now, would someone who predicted himself dying and rising again, would that in a way signal an intention of dying for everyone's sins? No, it had nothing to do with that. He didn't die for everybody's sins. He had no intention of doing that. So that's one thing I have an issue with in the Bible. There is my logic. My logic. Don't forget what I just said, please. Jesus predicted he would die and be resurrected. He said, no, I'm going to die for your sins, for the sins of people. Even 2,000 years later, he's going to die. I'm going to die for you. No. He came back to life. Hey, he didn't die. He came back to life. So the main thing that you take away from the crucifixion is not that he died for our sins, okay, but that he was resurrected and so showed everybody that he was very godlike, right, that God is real. He had already performed lots of miracles before that, and that was the greatest miracle of all time. He knew that miracle would last the centuries, but it had nothing to do with him dying for our sins, which goes back to Adam and Eve. A fantasy. Not true. Not true. Not true. Not true. Adam and Eve is not true. First of all, I'm going to start reading my book here. I got to read this passage. First of all, a loving God would not say to a man and a woman in a Garden of Eden, don't eat from that tree, because if you do, I'm going to damn you for eternity. No. A loving God wouldn't do that, which shows to me that some people don't think that God is loving. They think he's a vengeful, wrathful, mean-spirited, wicked creator. That's you thinking that way, if that's your mindset. And I'm going to read something from this book here that will reinforce what I just said. But why would you believe me, my friends? Why? Why do you, like I said, I've got a ponderous mission here trying to convince you people that Adam and Eve is fantasy. But if I can present logic in a way that where you could say, hey, that does make sense. Maybe I'll change my mind because, you know what, the Bible, to me, most of it is true. It's a great historical account of the past, of divine intervention, like I said, like the world has never seen before and probably never will see again. It has tremendous amounts of wisdom from great men of the Bible, the patriarchs, the disciples. But not all of it is true, okay? I've seen people before that put all their faith in the Bible. They believe it 100%, and they're doing themselves an injustice. How can they pride themselves on their intelligence when you just take something for granted because you want to conform with that group, that mindset, without questioning some things? So I'm going to present something here in this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or the Golden Planet. It has some really good information about reinforcing what I just said, that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was all fantasy, not reality. So I know some people out there might be scratching their head and coughing and sniffing or whatever. I'm just kidding. Kind of hang in there. Thank you for listening to my show, and I will make a case to support what I just said. So, take, for example, in the book and the movie, Heaven is for Real, about a young boy who had a near-death experience. Now, some people might say, it didn't really happen. These near-death experiences, they're just the result of a dying brain, of neurons firing in the brain, and they have these dream-like visions, but they don't actually go to heaven. They don't see deceased relatives. They don't meet Jesus. They don't meet God. It's the same with this boy. He was only 3 years old. But that makes him more believable, my friends, because he was only 3 years old when he had that near-death experience. But I submit to you one vital piece of evidence, if you will, about telling the truth, and that is when he died and went to heaven, he met his sister who had died in a miscarriage. His mother hadn't told him that he'd had a sister who died in her womb. It was only afterwards when he was talking to her and mentioned having another sister, she said, how did you know that? Because I met this little girl in heaven, and she kept hugging me, and she told me that she had died in your tummy. And then the mother said, who told you that she had died in, that you had a sister who had died in your tummy? The girl did. She didn't. The mother didn't tell him. No one told him. Obviously, then, he had to have been there in heaven. That little girl coming up to him and hugging him was real. So that near-death experience, that is the best proof ever, my friends. The best proof to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is an afterlife where we go and where we meet deceased relatives, we meet all of those people we've heard about. So let me start reading to you from this book, and I'm going to be reading from this book for a long time. I love reading these there's so much great information in here. So I'm going to shed a little light on how the Jewish people came to exist. How do you like that? Doesn't that sound good? How did the Jewish people begin? The Hebrew people, the Jewish people. Okay, you ready? And this is my proof to you through this book written by a man who had an abduction taken to a planet. Again, my friends, compare this to the book Heaven is for Real. If you doubt a man who was taken to a planet by extraterrestrials who supposedly are one of the three most advanced spiritually and technology in our Milky Way galaxy, if you doubt his story, then you would doubt a story like Heaven is for Real. That was my comparison there. You see what I'm trying to say? We have to believe how this affects people, whether it's a near-death experience or an abduction. And the word abduction really doesn't give it credit. You know, it's not fair to use that word abduction because it makes it sound like they do cool experiments on human beings, but that's not true. There's another word they can use, and they have used in the book, The Contact Has Begun, when they abducted these extraterrestrials by the name of Verdants, abducted them aboard their spaceship, the Goodwill, about a mile-wide spaceship, which is parked behind the moon. He wrote the book, The Contact Has Begun. He had been on the L.A. Times Metro desk for 25 years. And so very believable. You have to believe. You just have to believe people sometimes. You have to bridge that gap between belief and knowledge. So I'm about to explain to you the truth behind the Jewish people, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. So listen up, please, and keep an open mind. Question everything, even me, you know. I don't have it all right. But as I mentioned, it is these fantasies, these myths, legends that are created that are holding us back from developing as a civilization. Hold on, please. Okay, I closed the door so I wouldn't bother some of our dogs in there inside the house. This is what happened 12,000 years ago. 12,000, my friends. Human beings left the planet Hebra. Hebra. H-E-B-R-A. Get it? Hebra? Hebrews? Oh, right away, that's fantasy, right? In order to visit the galaxy in search of a new planet of the same category as their own, I've talked to you about this before. Planets come in different categories depending on the level of evolution, right? For they knew that in the millennium to come, their planet would become totally uninhabitable, cooling down, right? Just like Mars did. A spacecraft capable of extremely high speeds experienced serious problems during its reconnaissance flights and was obliged to land on your planet. It landed in the region of Krasnodar, a town in western Russia. Needless to say, at the time, there was no town, no people, no Russia. On board the spacecraft were 8 astronauts, 3 women and 5 men. These people were approximately 170 centimeters in height, about 5'6". With black eyes, fair skin, and long brown hair. They made a successful landing and began repairs to their vessel. They found the gravitational force stronger than on their own planet and initially had some difficulty moving about. They established a camp near their spacecraft, expecting repairs to take some time. One day, during work, an incident occurred causing a terrific explosion that destroyed half of the vessel and killed 5 of the cosmonauts. The other three, being some distance away, were unharmed. They were Robinam, a man, and Leviah and Dinah, two women. They knew well what was in store for them, coming from a planet of a superior category of evolution. They did not belong on Earth, where they were in fact prisoners, and thus they anticipated the misadventures that befell them. The accident came as no great surprise. For several months, the three remained at the spot where the season was warm. They had some weapons, and they were able to procure game. Their provisions of manna and brucian having been lost in the explosion. Eventually, the cold arrived, and they decided to move further south. The gravitational force made walking long distances extremely difficult for them, so that their trek south to warmer climates became a veritable road to Calvary. They passed by the Black Sea, heading in the direction of today's Israel. The journey took months, but they were young people, and astonishingly, they made it. The weather became more clement and even hot as they reached lower latitudes. They stopped by a river, establishing there a permanent camp, all the more permanent since Dinah was several months pregnant. At full term, she gave birth to a son, whom they named Ranan. By then, Leviah, too, was pregnant, and sometime later, she also bore a son, Rabion. These people from Hebra acclimatized in this spot, which was rich in game, honey, and edible plants. And there they founded their line. It was quite some time later that they made the acquaintance of some nomads passing by. This was their first contact with Earthlings. The nomads numbered 10, and having found Robinan's women to their liking, they wanted to kill him and take all that he had, including the women. Robinan still had his weapon, and although a pacifist, he was obliged to use it and killed 4 of his attackers who fled in the face of such power. These people were greatly saddened that they had to resort to such a measure and saw it yet another sign that they were on a planet that was forbidden to them by universal law. "I don't understand," I interrupted. This is Michael, the author. "I thought that it wasn't possible to jump categories in a forward direction, but that it would be possible to go to inferior planets." "No, Michael, neither forwards nor backwards. If you go forward, disregarding universal law, you will die. If you go backwards, you expose yourself to worse conditions because your advanced spirituality can't exist in a materialistic environment. If you like, I'll give you an analogy in the form of a childish comparison. Imagine a man immaculately dressed in polished shoes, white socks, and pressed suit. You oblige this man to walk through a farmyard 30 centimeters deep in mud. Further, you insist that he put this mud into a wheelbarrow with his hands. No need to ask what state he will be in when he has finished. Nonetheless, our group of extraterrestrials founded their line that became the ancestors of present-day Jews. The Bible was written later by scribes who retraced the history of these people, distorting it as legend became mixed with reality. I can affirm for you that the Adam of the Bible was not only not the first man on earth, far from it, but he was called Robinan, and he didn't have a wife called Eve, but two wives, named Leviah and Dinah. The race of Jews developed from these three without mixing with other races because by atavism they felt themselves superior, and indeed they were. However, I must assure you that the Bible is not the product of the scribe's imagination, nor is it embellished. There was much truth in it. I say was because in the various councils of the Roman Catholic Church, the Bible has been greatly revised for reasons which are clear to serve the needs of Christianity. This is why I said yesterday that religions are one of the curses of earth. I must also enlighten you in regard to several other biblical points. Shortly after the arrival of the Hebrews on earth, we helped them on several occasions. We also punished them. For example, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was caused by one of our space vehicles. The people of those two towns were presenting a bad example and acting dangerously for the people in contact with them. We tried various means in an endeavor to put them back on the right track, but in vain. We had to be ruthless. Each time that you read in the Bible and the Lord God said this or that, you should read, and the inhabitants of Thyatira said, Michael then said, why not save them in the beginning and take them back to their planet or to another of the same category? The extraterrestrial, by the way, whose name is Thio, said, that is, of course, a reasonable question, Michael, but there is a snag. We can't predict the future more than 100 years in advance. We thought at the time that being such a small group, they might not survive, and if they did, they would mix with other races and thus be absorbed by other peoples and rendered impure. We guessed that this would occur within a century, but such was not the case. Even now, as you know, the race is still almost as pure as it was 12,000 years ago. As I told you, by means of religious councils, priests erased or changed many things in the Bible, but others survived and can easily be explained. In chapter 18, verse 1, the scribe refers to our appearance at the time, saying, the Lord God appeared unto him among the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. The scribe is speaking of Abraham in this chapter. 2, he, Abraham, looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to them and fell to the ground before them. And he said, Lord and Master, if I have found grace in your eyes, I beg you not to go far from your servant. Abraham invites the three men to stay. The scribe refers to them as men one minute, and yet one of them is also called the Lord God. He speaks to them, and each time it is the one referred to as the Lord God who replies. Now, the priests of the Roman Catholic Church find this in formal contradiction with their views, as do many other religions. For they will tell you that no one can imagine the face of God, that one would be blinded by it. In a sense, they are right, since the Creator, being a pure spirit, has no face. According to the scribe, Abraham converses with the Lord God as he would with the high-ranking Lord on earth. And the Lord God answers him and is accompanied by two other men. The scribe does not speak of angels. Isn't it odd that God comes down to earth in the form of a man accompanied by not angels, but by men? Actually, there and in many other places in the Bible, it is easy to see, it is easy for someone of good faith to see, that God has never spoken to any human being. He could not have done so, since it is astral bodies which aspire towards him, and not God who leans towards them. That would be like a river flowing backwards. You have never seen a river flowing from the sea to the mountaintop, have you? A passage from the Bible 2 pages further on, from one just mentioned, is also quite amusing. Chapter 19, verse 1, the two angels arrived in Sodom, and Lot was seated at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to go and kissed the ground in front of them. And he manages to get them to go to his house, and suddenly, in verse 5, they called Lot and said to him, where are the men who entered your house? Now the scribe is referring to them as men. Next, in verse 10, the men reached out, made Lot come inside and close the door. And they struck blind everyone at the entrance to the house, from the smallest to the largest person, so that it was useless for them to try to find the door. It is easy to see the lack of precision in this passage, where the scribe begins by speaking of two angels, then speaks of two men, and then describes two men striking people blind. According to the Bible, such a miracle requires at least an angel. There, my dear, is another good example of confusion in Berkeley scripts. The men were quite simply our men from Thyuba, that planet, extraterrestrials. Thus we guided and helped the Jews, for it would have been a shame to let a race so spiritually evolved sink back into ignorance and savagery only because it had accidentally committed the error of coming to a planet which was not appropriate for it. We helped them in the centuries that followed, and it is this that certain scribes have tried to explain by writing the accounts that have formed the Bible. Often they were in good faith. At times, they have been distorted. They have distorted the facts, although not purposely. The only times this distortion was purposely done, and for very specific reasons, as I have said, was by the Roman Church during the councils of Nicene, A.D. 325, Constantinople in A.D. 381, Ephesus in A.D. 431, and Chalcedon in A.D. 451. There were others, too, but of lesser significance. The Bible is not the book of God, as many people on earth believe it to be. It is simply a document of ancient history, much modified and full of embellishments, added by writers different from the original scribes. For example, let's go back to Egypt in the time of the Exodus, which interests people on earth. I'm going to restore the truth concerning this for you and for others before going further. Let's go back then to Egypt, where we find that the descendants of the cosmonauts have become the Hebrew people, the name deriving from that of their planet Hebra. Since arriving accidentally on your planet, this race has experienced great difficulties. It experienced them then, and it experiences them still. As you know, the Jews are very intelligent by comparison with other races. They have a religion which is quite different, and they don't mix with other races. Marriages are always, almost always, among their own kind. Because of inexorable universal law, they have always suffered persecution, much of which has occurred in recent times, like World War II, Hitler, for example. As a result, their astral bodies were liberated and therefore able to proceed directly to more highly evolved planets where they belong. As you know, a group of Hebrews traveled with Joseph, son of Jacob, into Egypt, where they established a line only to end up being hated by the Egyptians, and always for the same unstated reasons, their intelligence, and particularly their solidarity in the face of adversity. Action was needed. That's when they sent Jesus. I read about that last week. So what do you think? Before proceeding on, my friends, let me see how we're doing on time. 6:33, about halfway. Okay, well, that talks about the Bible not being 100% true. What does it say here? Much modified and full of embellishments. Why? Because the Roman Catholic Church mainly wanted control of the people. Why did they want control? Because they wanted money. Think about the Vatican right now, my friends. How powerful it is, how much money they have. And that's why the extraterrestrial bio, who is talking to Michael in the passages that I just quoted, she says, actually, because they're hermaphrodite, they're male and female. So picture, if you will, a 9-foot-tall extraterrestrial, both male and female, kind of like transgender. Very interesting, isn't it? Extremely, extremely intelligent. They might be tuning in right now to my radio show. Got the feeling that somebody is, or maybe I wonder how many people out there are listening all around internet radio land. Before I go on any further, let me just give a few shout-outs. My son in California, in Burbank, my sister in Seattle, people I work with, people that belong to my Toastmasters group, Of course, Doug and Don, BBS Radio, thank you for all you do. All the beautiful people that you have in their shows. So, the extraterrestrials, what did they say? That religion is a curse on Earth. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to shake your faith, you know. I shouldn't be able to anyway if you're listening to my show, either now or later. I'm not trying to question your faith. I'm just trying to give you a perspective that I believe is truer than one you already know. And it is incumbent and behooves every single human being on this planet to try to make it a better place. And if we live in a state of fantasy, as per the movies that Hollywood is putting out, if you're one of those people that loves to see a good action movie or fantasy movie, one that's not based on a true story, then you're just living in a world of fantasy too. You need to do a reality check. Say to yourself, am I grounded in reality or fantasy? Something like this COVID-19 happens, or an active shooter, which surprisingly, and other violence too around the world have kind of stopped. Have you noticed? Because of the COVID-19, which is a good thing. But I hope we don't get back to normal the way it was before when these active shooter incidents happen. And I wish we would never have another one, let's get that straight, ever again, or have another war ever again. But the fact is they do happen either in the United States or around the world. My point is, when that does happen, oh, my God, oh, you just seen the Expendables and the Terminator. You didn't think something like that would happen. Well, surprise, Hollywood's got a big responsibility, don't they? Right? They need to give us more movies. I saw one the other day based on a true story, Brian Banks, racial discrimination. And that's going on now. I mean, the protests that are going on about racial discrimination are a good thing. That's one way we could get to the truth of the matter, my friends. It's time we all live for the truth. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have truth in our hearts. Seek the truth. If you listen to what I just read to you, this is from, according to the author, he's taken to this planet. These extraterrestrials gave him all this information he put in this book. Taub of the Golden Planet, an incredible weed. It will change your life if you read this. In fact, if you read it once, you want to read it several times because it's that good. It'll make you a more spiritual person. It will evolve you, my friends. I'm going to read to you something else now from this book, and I'll always try to, it might be a different book next week or the few weeks to follow. So, these extraterrestrials, they've got a message for you, for all of us here on Earth. And listen up, please. This is very important. And with all that's going on now, you'll see that it's related to what's happening. Okay? It's very interesting information. Take it from me. If you like me, I know you'll like this. If you don't want to hear it, you don't have to. The fact is, if you think that this is science fiction, what happened with this man here, why would he make a story like this up? Listen to these words, please. For approximately 140 years on your planet, man has been accelerating the destruction of nature and the pollution of the environment. This has happened since the discovery of steam power and combustion engine. You have but a few years left in which to arrest the pollution before the situation becomes irreversible. One of the principal pollutants on Earth is the petroleum-driven engine, and this could be replaced immediately with a hydrogen engine, which would cause no pollution, so to speak. I'm to blame, my friends, before I go on any further. I've got a car, but it's a four-cylinder. I should have an electric car, hopefully in the future, when I can afford one. It's a good excuse, I think, for right now. Continuing on, On certain planets, this is called the clean moisture. Prototypes for such an engine have been constructed by various engineers on your planet, but they must be industrially manufactured in order to replace petrol engines. Not only would this measure mean a 70% reduction in current levels of pollution by combustion waste, but it would also be more economical for consumers. The big petrol corporations have been terrified at the idea of this motor being popularized, for it would mean loss of sales for their oil and subsequent financial ruin. Governments, too, who impose enormous taxes on these oils, would suffer equally. You see, Michael, it always comes back to money. Because of it, we have a whole economic and financial context that opposes progress towards radical change in the interest of all human life on Earth. The people on Earth allow themselves to be pushed around, bullied, exploited, and led to the abattoirs by political and financial cartels, which are sometimes even associated with well-known sects and religions. When these cartels fail to win the people with clever advertising campaigns intended to brainwash them, they try to succeed through political channels, and next through religion, or through a clever blend of the lot. Great men wanting to do something for mankind have simply been done away with. Martin Luther King is one example. Gandhi is another. Well, hope you don't try to get me, because isn't that, that's like the way it was too with the Spanish Inquisition. Your faith that you believe in it so strongly that you'd be willing to kill somebody. That's wrong, because if you believed that it was true, if it was true, what you believed in was true, then you wouldn't try to hurt anybody because they didn't believe what you believe. Does that make sense? If it was true, and you knew it was true, then you wouldn't need to harm anybody. But the only reason you do is because you know it's not all true. And that's the mindset of some people. You don't believe what they believe, they'll try to kill you. Isn't that ridiculous? You need to grow up, evolve, be spiritually developed. What happened with Martin Luther King, like I just said here, and Gandhi and other people? I could name them all. And by the way, Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest men on earth. Fast, stronger, more powerful, more intelligent than your average man. Do you think he stuck around being a Christian? He said that Christianity was handed down through slavery. But he saw through a lot of Christianity. There you go. He became Muslim, because he didn't want to fool around with Christianity. Me, I'm not that way. I still call myself a Christian in a way. I just don't believe everything in the Bible. Let me continue reading. But the people on earth can no longer allow themselves to be treated as fools and led to the abattoirs like flocks of sheep by leaders that they themselves have democratically elected. The people form the vast majority. In a nation of 100 million inhabitants, it is absurd that a group of financiers comprising perhaps 1,000 individuals can decide the fate of the others. And you know that's true, like the butcher does at the abattoir. Such a group has well and truly stifled the business of the hydrogen motor so that it is no longer mentioned. These people couldn't care less what might happen to your planet in years to come. Selfishly, they seek their gains, expecting to be dead before whatever is going to happen happens. If the Earth disappears as a result of horrific cataclysms, they assume they will already be dead. There, they are making a big mistake. For the source of the coming disasters is the pollution which is growing daily on your planet, and its consequences will be felt very soon, much sooner than you can imagine. The people of Earth must not do as a child, forbidden to play with fire. The child is without experience, and in spite of the prohibition, he disobeys and burns himself. Once burnt, he knows that the adults were right. He won't play with fire again, but he will pay for his disobedience by suffering for several days afterwards. Unfortunately, in the case that concerns us, the consequences are much more serious than the burn of a child. It's the destruction of your entire planet that is at risk with no second chance if you don't place your trust in those who want to help you. It interests us to see that recently established ecological movements are gaining in momentum and power, and that the young people of Earth are carrying other sensible people along with them in their fight against pollution. There is only one solution, the grouping of individuals. A group is only as powerful as it is large. Those whom you call the conservationists are becoming stronger and stronger and will continue to do so. But it is vital that people forget their hatred, their resentment, and especially their political and racial differences. There you go, right there with the racial differences. This is happening, my friends. We need to make those changes. This group must be internationally united. And don't tell me this is so difficult, for already on Earth, there exists a non-violent and very large international organization, the International Red Cross, which has been functioning effectively for quite some time. It is essential that the conservationist group include in its programs not only the conservation of the environment from direct damage, but from indirect damage as well, such as that which results from smoke, exhaust fumes from vehicles, smoke from factories, and so on. The wastewater from large towns and factories, which is chemically treated, is also harmful and empties into river systems and oceans. Smoke from the USA has already caused more than 40 lakes in Canada to become sterile by means of the acid rains it provoked. The same thing is occurring in Northern Europe due to the pollution from French factories on the German Ruhr. Now we come to another kind of pollution that is of no small concern, though people might readily dismiss it. As the great Thiolride told you, which is earlier on in the book, they're like elders there on the planet Thiouba, very, very extremely, incredibly intelligent beings capable of creating a body, any kind of body. Just like in the movie Avatar, you remember the blue bodies? They created those bodies, right? That the Marine, you know, didn't have any legs. He slipped into his, you could call his spirit or his astral body. Well, they created that blue body. Well, these beings on that planet can create bodies, including a human body. It takes about 24 hours, but isn't that amazing? Technology. Knowledge, my friends. Levitation equals knowledge. Invisibility equals knowledge. Walking on the water equals knowledge. Feeding 5,000 people with 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, or was it 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, the Sermon on the Mount? I forget. Knowledge. Jesus had the knowledge to do it. Raising Lazarus from the dead, he had the knowledge to do it. Turning water into wine, he had the knowledge. Curing the blind man, he had the knowledge. He knew how to do that. The crippled, the paralyzed man, he cured him. Why? Because he had the knowledge. You get it? It's not some fantasy like waving a magic wand. You don't have any idea how else he would do it. People don't usually. No offense intended. But did you ever give it much thought how Jesus, say, for example, calmed the sea? What words he might have spoken? How that is possible to command nature in that way? With the knowledge, the right words, maybe. Like in the Bible it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything was created with the Word. Remember that, okay, please? Words can create or destroy, so please be careful with your words. So, noise is one of the most noxious pollutants, for it upsets your electrons and unbalances your physical compartment. So I'm going to tell you right here in these next few words just what your spirit is made of. Well, they will tell you, okay? If you ever wondered what it's made of, I'm going to explain it to you. A A normal human astral body contains approximately 4 billion trillion electrons. These electrons have a lifespan of approximately 10 billion trillion of your years. They were created at the moment of creation. Your astral body contains them. By the way, the moment of creation is the Big Bang. Guess what? It's true. It did happen. Your astral body contains them, and when you die, 19% rejoin the electrons of the universe until required by nature to form a new body or a new tree or animal, and the 81% rejoin your higher self. Now, I interpret the higher self to mean your mother and father, God, in heaven. That is your higher self. You popped out of them when they merged their spirits together, thinking in unison, you know, synchronicity of thoughts, speaking the words, and they can merge. Spirits can merge together, my friends, to form one spirit and then split again into two. That's how you were created. Believe it or not, you have a soulmate. When you were popped into existence in the spirit lands, your soul and your spirit, guess what? If you're male, you had a female soulmate. If you're female, you had a male soulmate. They're out there somewhere. So when these, and then, isn't that a thought, though? The mother and father God might be soulmates in as much as they were created at the same time. I think the principle of incest, let's say two children created at the same time, actually it's one that divides into two, so it doesn't apply, I think. I just thought of that. It's interesting. But I believe that we all have soulmates out there. It might be here living on this planet or another planet in the universe, or they might be in heaven or the spirit lands, in other words, there waiting to reincarnate, waiting for you to come back to the spirit lands on that one day in the future, right? So they go on to say, Michael says, I don't quite follow you. I interrupted. And the extraterrestrial says, I know, but I intend helping you to understand. An astral body is not quite what you would call a pure spirit. On Earth, there is a belief that the spirit is made of nothing. This is false. The astral body is composed of billions of electrons, exactly mirroring your physical shape. Each of these electrons has a memory, and each is capable of retaining as much information as is contained in all the books that fill the shelves of an average town library. Whoa. I see you are staring wide-eyed at me, but it is as I say. This information is coded like a microfilm containing all the plans of an industrial installation that a spy would be able to pass in a cufflink, though much more miniaturized than that. Certain physicists on Earth are now aware of this fact, but the public at large hasn't been informed of it. And by the way, your soul is eternal. It's going to live forever. So is your spirit. You're going to live forever. You're on an endless ride, my friends. After this, it continues on, you know. You hear people dying all the time, but like with COVID, over 100,000, about 500,000 worldwide. Those people, where'd they go? This time last year, you know, think about it. June the 13th, 2019, where were you? All those people that died from COVID, they were alive at the time. People just like you and me, now gone. Where'd they go? They went to heaven, the spirit lands. I think most of them. That's a whole other conversation that I could get into about some that might not have been good people. But that's not nice to think of under the circumstances. You know, hell is God's jail. And also, people can walk on the surface of the earth like ghosts. You know, if you watch Ghost Adventures on television, you'll see what I mean. Those are spirits that might have been ghosts for centuries. You know, and I think that they're still alive in the sense that their physical body is still alive. They don't understand the situation, so they don't. I've got 1 minute, my friend, so I've read to you from that book. And I will continue to read from that book, or I've got a ton of other great books that will enlighten the listeners out there. And thank you for listening to my show. As to the truth, remember, God wants us to seek the truth, to have truth in our hearts. Nothing else matters. I wish you the best. You know I love you. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. Continue driving on, and I will talk to you next week. May God bless us, everyone, everywhere. Bye-bye.